Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Well, as you probably already know, if you're a regular listener to the Beacon Broadcast, the Apostle Paul is defending himself against his critics in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And in verses 4, 5, and 6, he's talking about his ability or capability as a minister of Christ. And he makes it clear that that capability comes to him from God. He has no confidence in himself, no confidence in the flesh, no confidence in his own gifts and abilities, which were enormous. There's no question that Paul was one of the most highly educated men of his day. But he doesn't look to his own education as his capability to do the work of an apostle. Paul was clearly one of the most energetic and zealous and focused and determined men of his day. When he was an enemy of Christ in the church, nobody exceeded, nobody even equaled Paul in his zeal in persecuting the church. And he carried that same kind of drive into his Christian work when Christ saved him and called him to be an apostle of Christ. But he doesn't mention that drive, that energy, that strong zeal that he had to get things done. He doesn't look to that as his capability for doing the work that God has called him to do. Nope, he attributes it, none of it to himself, all of it to God. Wonderful Spirit, that's the one that all of us must have. It all comes from God. It does not come from himself. And so he shows that his capability in verse 4 comes from divine appointment. If God has called him, God will enable him. He tells us that his capability comes from divine power, verse 5. He's not sufficient in himself, but he's sufficient in Christ. And now he's going to move on to show the capability of divine purposes in verse 6, and that's where we're going today. So thank you for joining me on this Friday, October 7. Thank you for helping financially support the Beacon Broadcast on this station. Verse 6, who also, speaking of God, our sufficiency is from God, verse 5. Verse 6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So there's a sufficiency that relates to Paul's own abilities in verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. But now he talks about another area of divine sufficiency, verse 6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Divine purposes. Paul says that he has been made a minister of the new covenant. And he goes on to describe it here, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. And he makes it clear that when he's talking about the letter, he's talking about the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, the critics of Paul, at least some of them, fit into the category that we call Judaizers. These are Jews who profess to be followers of Christ, but who insist upon adding elements of the Old Covenant to the gospel in order for people to be saved. It comes up very clearly in Acts chapter 15 of the Council of Jerusalem, where we are told in exactly this language that these Judaizers are teaching, except you be circumcised after the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. What is the law of Moses? The Old Covenant. But folks, the Old Covenant has been fulfilled. It has been set aside. A new covenant has been ushered in. When Jesus Christ met with his apostles in the upper room hours before his crucifixion, he inaugurated the Lord's table as a replacement for the Passover meal that belonged to the Old Covenant. And when he lifted that cup, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." He inaugurated the new covenant when he shed his blood. And he's foretelling that in hours before that in the establishment of the Lord's table. The Old Covenant has the Passover meal as a memorial. But the Old Covenant has run its course. It's come to an end. Now a new covenant has been inaugurated. And with the new covenant are some new symbols, new ordinances. One is the Lord's table, replacing the Passover meal. The other is believers' baptism in water, replacing old covenant circumcision. And Paul says, "My ability to carry out the work as an apostle of Jesus Christ has to do with my having been made a minister of the new covenant." His critics, remember, were Judaizers who were still clinging to the old covenant. "Except to be circumcised after the law of Moses, you cannot be saved." What's that? Incorporating the old covenant into the new covenant, but that's not legitimate. These are critics who introduce elements of the old covenant into the gospel and thereby preach a false gospel. They are critics who are ministering from the standpoint of the old covenant, the Jewish dietary laws and so forth. They think all of these things are part of the law of God for Christians, for members of the New Testament church. And they're going around following Paul wherever he goes, wherever he establishes churches. They show up in that town and they try to teach the members of Paul's church that you have got to be circumcised if you're going to be saved. You have got to follow the Mosaic dietary law if you are going to be saved. They are ministers of the old covenant. But Paul says, "Not me, I'm a minister of the new covenant," verse 6, "who also, of God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant," not of the letter, that's the old covenant, "but of the Spirit," that's the new covenant. "For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." And that's the truth. That old covenant was given by God. It was divinely appointed. It had its divinely designed purpose, which purpose was fulfilled with the coming of Christ, and therefore the old covenant had come to the end of its purpose when Christ died on the cross and inaugurated the new covenant. It had its place, but here's one thing that was evident about it. The old covenant, with all of its laws and requirements, could not give life. It killed, but it couldn't give life. "Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." What does that mean? The old covenant could only show people their inability to save themselves. Now, that's important. The law had that purpose, a very important purpose, to show people that you can't keep the law. You can't earn righteousness with God. You need something outside of yourself. you are incapable of keeping all of these laws of the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant kills. It slays man. It shows him his inability. It shows him his spiritual death. It shows him that he does not have power. He does not have life. But the New Covenant, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, gives you new life, new ability to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, not perfectly, of course, but with a true heart devotion. The Old Covenant kills, but the New Covenant gives life. The Old Covenant served its intended purpose and was set aside. The Old Covenant had no enabling power. It could reveal the requirements of God, but it had no power to enable anyone to keep them. And thus the need for the New Covenant, which Jesus inaugurated with his blood, bringing in the New Covenant. And God's purpose in inaugurating the New Covenant fulfills the Old Covenant. It's now in the past. And God-empowered ministers are those who minister the New Covenant, not the Old. Paul's critics were ministers of the Old Covenant, but Paul was a minister of the New Covenant. The letter kills in that it causes us to sin knowingly, but the Spirit gives life in that it causes us to fulfill what is commanded. That's the difference. What does that Old Covenant do with all of its laws, the Old Testament laws? It shows us our sin more clearly. Those who didn't have the Old Testament law were sinners, but they didn't sin as much as those who had it. Those who had it had more that they were accountable for. They had more knowledge that they were responsible for. They had more understanding of what God required, things that people who didn't have the Old Testament law, the Gentiles, could not have fathomed, could not have understood, could not have imagined that God required this, God required that. They understood some things that was written in their hearts, Romans chapter 1, but there's so much they didn't understand. But those who had the Old Covenant law had so many things that they now understood they were required to do. And in fact, there were so many that it just became an overwhelming burden. Nobody can keep all this, right? That's the whole purpose for giving it, to show you you can't keep it, and to show you you need Christ, to show you you need a better covenant, with better promises, with better ability. And Paul is talking about ministerial capability, and he says, I have the ability that comes with the New Covenant. I'm a minister of the New Covenant. I can preach the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. It gives life. These critics can only tell you the demands of the law. But that doesn't save anybody, doesn't give anybody life, doesn't give anybody power. The Old Covenant doesn't do that. It can't do that. It wasn't designed to do that. But I'm a minister of the New Covenant. And I can tell you where life is found. I can tell you where power is found. I can tell you where you can get a new heart. And where you can get the indwelling Spirit of God to enable you to please God. I have that ability because I am a minister of the New Covenant. That is what Paul is saying. And how grateful we are for these truths. And so we'll take it up again next week. Please join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.